I know what you're thinking. It's the first time I've seen you. And well, a lot's happened this last week. And so I figured where we need to begin is to talk about some of the things that happened that I don't really want to talk about. For example, this happened. Who knew this was going to be a big deal? I mean, just Taylor Swift attending a football game, like whatever, right? You know, how many of you were like, oh, I'm excited about this? A few of you? Oh, huge couple. Yes. Yeah, big head nods. How many of you are like, not so much? Okay. Oh, a few wah-wahs. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. The truth is I'm really stalling because, well, I suppose we should just get this out of the way. Okay. Notre Dame fans, shield your eyes, okay? The three of us, it's great. I know, great game, very entertaining. I am used to, as a Notre Dame fan, almost winning. Feels normal, okay? I actually didn't get to watch a single play because I was in London at the time. The game was at 12:30, and I thought for sure I would be able to watch it on YouTube TV. Apparently, that's not allowed in England. And then I thought Peacock, you know, like the NBC channel, apparently that's not allowed in England either. But I did find a radio station that I could listen to before I fell asleep at like 2 a.m. If you're wondering, why was I in London? Well, believe it or not, our presence was requested by the monarchy. And so we had a really important meeting with the king, okay, my wife and I. They wanted to know the amazing things that are happening here in Northwest Ohio. So we were happy to tell them about all the wonderful things, all the amazing people. Now, the reality is one of my personal values is to learn as much as I can about how to be the best leader, the best pastor. And about 4 years ago, I joined a cohort of other pastors that lead multi-site churches across the country. And so twice a year, we find a leader who has finished well. They have led a church, a growing church, for typically around 20 to 30 years, and we sit down in their living room. And so this is Nikki Gumbel and his wife, Pippa. We're in their kitchen. If you've done the Nikki Gumbel Bible in a Year program on YouVersion, that's him. He started a program called Alpha that some of you may be familiar with, and he's led Holy Trinity Brompton, the Church of England, one of the Church of England churches in London, for over 20 years. And God has used this couple to raise up leaders that are bringing back, yes, the traditional Church of England with people who care about introducing people to Jesus. It was incredible. I was in Oxford on Sunday morning watching a church service in a building older than our country and a building that used to be empty about 10 years ago that was jam-packed with people in one of their four services, and they sing some of the same songs that we do. You saw every walk of life, every generation. It reminded me of Cedar Creek, and it reminded me that God is at work around the globe, and I'm encouraged by that, and so should you be. And there are insights that, you know, I'm bringing back, sharing with a team. I'll share a couple of them with you today. But as I returned home, on my desk was this little publication called Outreach 100. You may not know of it. It's for church leaders and pastors. Every year, they feature the 100 fastest growing churches in the country year over year. And Cedar Creek was the 32nd fastest growing church in America right now, which is pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting, and you may be like, oh, good for you, Ben. No, actually, I wanted you to be aware that what God is doing here is special, and what God is doing through you, how you are leaning in, is special. We're not in an area that's booming with population growth. We didn't launch a new campus, but you're inviting people. You are welcoming people. It's your friendliness and engagement in what God is doing here. Like, you are the story that God is writing. And so I want you to continue to be excited about what's ahead for us. Like, God's doing some special things here. And so I want to welcome all of our campuses, those of you watching online, on TV, the men at Toledo Correctional. We've had sound. We didn't have sound for 15 minutes of our 9 a.m. service here at Perrysburg this morning. It's been an adventure today. But man, I am so glad that you're here. And so those of you that are physically here, we just give a rowdy welcome to the men, the individuals watching online and on TV. We're talking about how to live unfazed, and I'm really excited about this week. And so if you would lean in with me, I think there's some insights that will help steady you. Have you ever been invited to a gathering, but when you got there, you weren't sure why you were there? Or maybe you were in the middle of doing something that you thought to yourself, like, why am I doing it? Like, why am I doing it this way? Or what is my role? When we don't know why, it makes the it that we're doing more challenging. Last year, I was invited to speak at a convention in Dallas by a friend of mine, all the way back. She goes all the way back to high school with me. And she heard that I was a pastor. She invited me to come and speak to this pastoral, like, equipment kind of convention thingy. She wanted me to talk about burnout. And as I was asking questions, she said, a few thousand people will be at the convention, but in your gathering, I'm estimating about 150 to 200 people will be there. And so I'm like thinking about, is it worth flying down there? You know, I don't get asked to do this. Can I learn something? And the purpose for me is, if this is going to be helpful for a couple hundred people, I'll say yes. You know, I like sharing what I've learned through my mistakes too, to help other people. And so when I get there, I realize that this is a huge convention center. Like, it is three times the size of Toledo's Glass City Center, which apparently everything's bigger in Texas. But when I get there, I scope out where I'm going to be speaking, and I realize that they've just curtained off a section of the larger convention hall where they have different guest speakers showing up to deliver content on a particular subject. And as I'm walking around, as I get a little closer, I realize what they're featuring is all sorts of tech and video and sound and security and like facility type equipment. And so I'm like, well, get my things together. I'm reviewing my notes and I'm thinking to myself like, okay, why am I here? Okay, what is really going on? The truth is, I want to be helpful. That's my goal. And so as I get a little bit closer, my time slot comes up and I stand in front. It's like I stand in front of this section of 200 seats and there are 15 people seated in the 200 seats. 15 people. I'm on a stage just like this. I'm like, this is awkward. Okay, why don't we just have a small group gathering? And I'm thinking, no, why am I here? I'm here to be helpful. And so I'm going to be as helpful as I can for these 15 people. And I get my energy together and we launch into the talk. And 5 minutes in, over the PA, over the entire convention hall, there's an announcer that gets on that says, ladies and gentlemen, just like that, okay? It's like everybody listens to the voice of God. Ladies and gentlemen, food will be served in the middle of the convention in 5 minutes. Two people walk up and leave to go find the food. It's me and 13 now. I'm like, that was kind of weird. It totally interrupted my flow of content, but it's me and 13. Why am I here? I'm going to be helpful. And so I get back into the content. 5 minutes later, the announcer gets back on like he's calling a ball game. Ladies and gentlemen, worship will be starting in 5 minutes in the middle of the concourse. And then he repeats himself as if we didn't hear him the first time. I repeat, you know, like the whole thing. Two more people get up and leave. It's me and 11 individuals, and one of them is my daughter because she came along with me on the trip. And I'm thinking, like, this is weird. 5 minutes later, the music starts playing really loud in the middle of this convention center, so much so it's really hard to even communicate to my little corner of small group people. So I took a 45-minute session, boiled it into 15 minutes. Don't forget this. Don't forget this. Don't forget this. Let's go eat, you know? And I walked off the stage phased. Like, I'm like, why are they asking me to speak? Like, what am I doing here? Why did I fly all the way down here was this the best use of my time? Why did they offer food? Why did they make an announcement? And I didn't have answers for all of those questions. And so I didn't feel helpful. I didn't feel purposeful. And I think that's how some of us feel in our daily life. And there's this principle that I think we experience. When we have clarity of why, our clarity equals our capacity. It determines our capacity. When we understand why, we have typically the strength and resolve to do it. We will endure a lot when we have a clear understanding as to what and why we are doing it. I mean, think about it. Some of you will endure hours at a thrift store touching other people's used clothing. And you don't even know what you're looking for. You're like, I'm sure. Why? Because there is a treasure in there somewhere. And so you're looking through all the t-shirts to find the one, right? You know what I mean? It's like some of you, you'll buy a fixer-upper. Other people look at it and it's like, it's a dump. But you, why do you do it? You see potential. You know you can flip it. You see a layout. Some of us will spend a lifetime cheering for subpar sports teams. Why? I'm not really sure. So if you can help me with that, I'd love any help you can give. I mean, think about having kids, getting married. Maybe for you it's the job, or it can be hard, like exercise routines, diets, the medical treatment that you're getting that's so difficult. Like when we understand why, we can endure a lot, but take away the why or an understanding of it and our capacity drops. It leaves us discouraged, frustrated, defeated. So I'm convinced one of the reasons so many people lived stressed out, phased out lives is because they don't have a clear sense of why to their life. The bottom line for today is that when you have clarity of purpose, it increases your steadiness. I don't know if you connect those two together, but I think this is really important. Your capacity to live unfazed in the midst of a crazy, chaotic world is directly tied to the clarity of purpose. Not to something out there, but to something in here. And the more clearly I understand my God-given purpose, the steadier I am, the more resolve I have in the midst of challenging circumstances. But when I forget, when I lose sight of, when I undervalue, when it's unclear, do you know how hard my daily life gets? It's a grind. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, people perish. Like we die inside. When we don't understand why it is, what our purpose, how we're supposed to navigate this, because all we see is the stress, the sorrow, the struggle. So I'm wondering if maybe you or someone that you know, someone that you're close to, has what I would call a purpose deficiency. What's a deficiency? It's when you lack. It's like a shortage of. It's like having 10 players on the field the last two plays of the game, okay? It's a shortage. Perhaps you had purpose at one point. I imagine for some of you, it was the job. Like you had this level, like if I could just get here, then I would be set. And then you got there and you're not set. Like there's still something missing. Or maybe you just haven't taken the time to discover your purpose. Or maybe you're too tired and you're not really sure that it's gonna be worth it. Maybe you're afraid. See, the truth is purpose is a funny thing. We all want it, but we're not always sure what to do with it. When we start to get the sense or a little bit of an understanding, oftentimes we just walk around confused. And it seems like those people that have it, and we're just left on the outside of the party. And so let's clarify purpose by beginning by what purpose is not. Purpose is not a career. It's not your job. Though you can find it in your job, your God-given purpose is not the job that you have today, because the truth is at some point you and me will be walking away from our J-O-B, and that doesn't mean that you don't have purpose. Also, purpose is not a feeling. Though living your purpose can create feelings of joy and delight and excitement, the truth is your purpose can also feel heavy at times. It can create restlessness. It can break your heart. And so we need to be careful to not confuse pleasure with purpose, because I think some people think, oh, purpose is when you feel excited about life. Well, it can, but not always. Another thing, purpose is not delivered to you. A lot of people are waiting. It's like they're sitting there going, I can't wait for purpose to show up. Like God's gonna show up and say, hey, here's your God-given purpose, ta-da, and you'll have it all figured out. No, it is not delivered, it is developed. It's something that you have to invest in, and one step at a time. Like when I look back to where I started at Cedar Creek over 23 years ago to where I'm at today, like this, it just wasn't downloaded to me. It wasn't delivered. It was developed one step at a time. And so many people are waiting for God to show up. And the truth is, God gives you a step to take. And as you continue to take faithful steps in the direction that God's wired you, your purpose gets more and more clear, which creates more and more steadiness in your life. That's why we created Growth Track. It's really dedicated space for you to begin to discover the life-changing adventure, the purpose-filled life that God intended for you. And so what is that? Here's how I would define it. Your God-given purpose begins with the awareness that God placed you and gifted you to be a part of his mission in our world today. That truth alone, if you just think about it, will steady so much of your life. I'm gonna say it again. Your God-given purpose is when you become aware that God placed each of you here and he's uniquely gifted each, uniquely, not uniformly, uniquely gifted each of you to be a part of his mission in our world today. That means you're not an accident. Like, it's not like, whoops, how did we get here? God's unique, God's answer to the chaos in our world today, in part, is you and me. And the clearer you see that, the steadier you will be. The less thrown off you'll be by the news and culture and all that's going on around us. And here's what's interesting. Jesus taught this. Not only did he teach it, he lived it out. Like, he was popular. People would travel for dozens of miles to see him. But he was also hated. He was threatened. He was cursed by people. He was accused of being Satan, the enemy of God, the Son of God, being accused by the religious leaders of being the enemy of God. Think about that. I mean, has that happened to you? I mean, maybe a few of you. But, you know, it's like we get accused of things all the time. He was betrayed by the guys that were closest to him. Eventually, he was killed. And yet his steadiness never wavered. His resolve was strong because he knew his why. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was sweating droplets of blood, he said, "Not my will, but your purpose be done." At one point, he was talking to his disciples, trying to illustrate what the significance of this life of purpose. And here's what he taught. He said, Jesus explained to his disciples, "My nourishment comes from listening to Ben Snyder teach on the weekend at Cedar Creek." Yeah. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. But thanks for the clap. I appreciate it. That's awesome. He says that my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. In the original language, that word nourishment, you could say my food comes from doing the will of God. Jesus is saying my soul is fed when I live out my God-given purpose. And the same is true for you and me. Our soul is fed when we live out our God-given purpose. So if you ever find yourself feeling like I'm not being fed somewhere, I would invite you to first look at how you're living out your God-given purpose before you look for another church to attend. Because our tendency, our temptation, and this is true for all of us in our Western kind of consumeristic world, is to find a service that you'll enjoy that matches your preference in terms of teaching and music and all of that stuff more than finding the next step in you living out your God-given purpose. And it can be fun for a little bit, but the truth is your soul will still be hungry because our nourishment does not come from sitting somewhere and listening to great music and listening to some great preaching. And the truth is, after a couple years, you'll get bored with it anyway. It's predictable. What keeps our hearts and our souls alive is partnering with God's Spirit and living out our God-given purpose. I mean, the context, Jesus is trying to help his disciples see that there's more going on than people just showing up to hear him teach. And so to expand their vision of this, in his next sentence, he says, "Hey, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up, look around, the fields are already ripe for harvest. Stop waiting and start looking." Like, this is what Jesus is telling the disciples. And in part, he's telling you and me today, like, wake up. Your daily life is ripe with opportunity for God to use you to be a part of his mission today. We have to start looking for it. And I'm convinced that the more you see that, the steadier your life will be. And someday it's a battle. But how? It means every day you show up at work, every day you show up at school, with the teacher, the kids, the environment that drives you crazy, every conversation, there is potential purpose there. Even in you just demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit in ways that you may not see in this lifetime, but the purpose is there. My wife and I were taking a cab ride from Oxford back to London to fly home. It's about a 50-minute cab ride. And so we get in the cab, load up our luggage, and we meet Matija. He's our cab driver. He's from Albania, but he's living in London because there were better opportunities there than in his homeland. And so we exchanged a little bit, and I had work to do. You know, I had things going on in my head. I'm like, I'm trying to prepare for coming back here, and you know, I'm still processing the loss of that bitter game. You know, so it's like I wanted to withdraw, but he started asking us more questions. And then he asked, like, what were we doing in London? Visiting pastors. And we work at a church. And that's interesting. My mom was Muslim. My dad was Christian. What's the difference between the Orthodox church and your church? Are there differences? And so we talk a little bit about that. And he shared a little bit of his faith. And it just so happened that the church service that we were at that morning had invite cards on their chairs. The town that he is from, the church that we visited one time, provided us with a resource for a person who is asking questions of faith. And so we just said, hey, maybe part of the reason we're in the car today is to invite you to this event. He looked at the card. It says, are you curious about faith? He's like, curious? That's me. I'm free on Tuesday on the 7th. I'll go. Now, I could have just sat in the back of the car on my phone. Fortunately, Lauren was with me. She was asking all the questions. I mean, the truth is, there is purpose. God is up to 10,000 things, and we may be aware of 5 of them. And it took what could have just been a cab ride and turned it into a spiritual moment. I don't know how it's going to turn out. That's not my job. We can't always see how it's going to end. But man, it changes how you show up. It feels adventurous. And so I want to talk about your purpose and how it steadies us. And what's helpful is to understand the framework that we walk through in Growth Track. I'm not going to unpack it fully here, but I believe your God-given purpose is at the convergence of these 3 areas of your life, the center of these 3 circles, if you will, your personality, how you're wired, and how the Holy Spirit has gifted you, your passion, what is uniquely meaningful to you, what makes you your heart burn, what are you willing to suffer for, and then your place, where you are now. When you begin to understand that, and that's what the 4-week experience really gives you dedicated space to dig into, you have the seeds, the starting point of your God-given purpose. And some of you are looking at this going, cute, Ben, but I don't really see how this helps steady me. I mean, my work is crazy, and my boss is annoying, or the kids. All I do is clean up diapers and messes and diapers and messes, and like, how does this steady the chaos of my life, or like culture? I mean, think about it. All of the agendas that are out there, they're against us, and so I don't even know how to live this out. Hold on. I mean, if you're sitting there wondering, how does this steady me? It steadies us in 3 ways that I want to unpack. It steadies a who, it steadies a how, and it steadies a now. The first one, the who, it's your identity. It's your identity. Our tendency is to start with what we do, but God always puts who before do. He cares about who you are before what you do. He cares about what you do, but it's always your identity first. And the truth is, you, listen to me here, you will never know what you were made to do until you know the one who made you. And I don't mean know about, I mean know, you experience God. And so if you've never placed your faith in Christ and begun that personal, born again, life-changing relationship with him, that's where the adventure starts. Who is God to you? And so those of you that are exploring faith, these principles may be helpful, but we want you to take that step first. And whenever you're ready, I feel like when you do that, it's going to open up the opportunity for you to understand who God is, and then you will get clarity on who he designed you to be. There's a story where Jesus starts his public ministry, and so the inaugural event of Jesus beginning his speaking and many of his miracles was on the banks of the muddy Jordan River, where he asked John the Baptist to baptize him. Think about it. The Son of God went public with his faith in his heavenly Father. He chose to be baptized. That's why we encourage you to take that step of baptism. In fact, we have baptisms next week. If you've never gone public with your faith, then walk in the way of Jesus and make that something that you participate with, with us at some point the first weekend of the month. And so Jesus gets baptized. What's unique about this is as he was coming up out of the water, some of you know the story, it says that the clouds parted, and here's what happened. It says that a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Now you've probably read that and gone past that, but the significance of this is profound. God, Jesus, Heavenly Father, is speaking into this inaugural moment. And notice what he doesn't say. "Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jesus who's going to die on the cross and come back from the dead in 3 days." He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, "Hey, ladies and gentlemen, he's a great teacher. He's going to do amazing things." He doesn't say that. He doesn't say Jesus is going to change the course of human history. Even though he did all of those things, God started with his identity. "This is my son. And I love him. I'm well pleased." And he hadn't even started yet. A clear identity steadies us. When you know how God sees you, then it changes what you do and how you do it in your life. That's the beginning of understanding your God-given purpose. You have to remember who you are. It's that moment in Lion King where Simba doesn't know what he's doing with his life, and Rafiki hits him over the head, and then he hears the voice of his father saying, "Remember who you are." Friends, you need to remember who you are and whose you are. A relevant example where I see this lived out, whether you love him or not, is Coach Prime with the Colorado Buffaloes, where in this press conference, people were kind of nitpicking and trying to get him off guard, and he said, "Hey, listen, you didn't make me. You can't break me." He said, "You didn't build me. You can't kill me. God established me. There is nothing you can do to me." Later on, he says, "I'm not playing to make you feel good about me. I feel good about me already." That's what it looks like to have a firm identity. First century pastor Paul wrote about it this way. He says that you and I, we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus. He did this. He impacted our identity so that what? So that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. Who before do? And when you get clarity on that, when I'm clear on my identity before God, then I don't look at my career, successes or failures, to determine my value and my worth. I don't look at my bank account to determine my value or my worth. I don't look at what others think about me to determine my value and worth. I don't have to listen to the inner critic in my life telling me what I'm not doing enough of. Instead, I come back to who God says that I am. Why? Because I am convinced, as it says in Philippians 2:13, that God is working in me and in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Start with who before do. It will steady you. When you do, the second thing that you'll see is how. How is about your gifting. It's how before what. Gifting is a bit of a churchy word. It's really the spiritual gifts that God, the Holy Spirit, gives those who place their faith in him. We tend to focus on what we can do and what we can't do, what we've accomplished, what we haven't accomplished, and that typically leads us one of two places. I look at what I've accomplished and I become really discouraged and defeated by what I haven't done at this stage in my life. Or we look at what we've accomplished and we feel pretty proud. It's like, look at me, I've done pretty good. So we feel defeated or we feel proud. And how is really understanding how God has gifted us. It's remembering what's taught throughout the New Testament, that a spiritual gift is given to each of us, to every Jesus follower, so that we can help each other. Later on in that chapter, it's the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. I did not decide that this would be my future. Culture would say, hey, if you work at it, if you believe in it, you can achieve it. Spiritually, it would be like, God, what have you gifted me to do, and how can I be faithful in that? For example, one of the people we had the privilege of hanging out with is a guy by the name of N.T. Wright, Tom Wright. If you do some YouVersion devotionals, you may have encountered him somewhere in there. He has a beautiful, deep British voice. He's like the Steve Jobs of the iPhone tech world, or the Steven Spielberg of movies. He's the Jeep Wrangler of off-road vehicles. He's 74. He's a legend. He's influenced Christianity around the world. He'll be one of the top theologians and biblical scholars of our time. And we got to spend about 9 hours with him. And he's sharing with us fresh things that he's learning from the Bible, fresh things after 70 years of life that is still causing his heart to pause and go, man, God is so good. And he's talking about our role as the church, not just as individuals, but as God's movement of people, helping this broken and weary world encounter God and experience the future resurrection with him. And at one point, as he was talking, he couldn't remember a book title that he wanted to reference that he had written. He's like, you can read more about it. And he doesn't remember. And one of the pastors asked, well, how many books have you written? And he's like, I don't know, 80 to 90 books. 80 to 90 books. I mean, I feel like this big. You know, it's like he's 74. He has three more books coming out in the next 12 months. Like he's still going strong. And we're all blown away. Like, oh my goodness, that's unbelievable. Like we're gawking over this. And he noticeably tells, and he just says, it's the way that God's gifted me. Like this isn't about me. It just comes naturally to me in a way that I watch other people battle. And so what has he done? He understood how God has gifted him, and that has empowered him in what he has dedicated himself. He is faithfully living out his God-given purpose. And God continues to bring vision and steadiness to him, even in the stage of life that he's in today. Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, said it this way, God has given each of you, not some of you, each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Like that's the vision. What do we learn here? Number one is that God gives the gifts. So if you don't know God, if you haven't surrendered your life to him, then you probably don't know how he's gifted you and how he's wired you. So this starts with trusting him. And then when you do, you learn how he's gifted you. And there's a variety of spiritual gifts. That means he's wired you, gifted you differently than he's gifted me. And so stop comparing your gift with everybody else's. If you don't like it, your issue is with God. And so instead of downplaying it, why don't you go to him and say, God, help me see how to use this gift. Why? Because the purpose is that we would serve one another. Like that's why they're there. And so he goes on in the next verse. He says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Like give it all you got. And do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with the strength and energy that God supplies. You know how many people we have on our dream team and around our church that just love helping people? Like you inspire me. And here's what happens. When you live out your gift, then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Do you see that? When we use our God-given purpose, it's our way of honoring God. Said differently, it's the way that we actually worship God with our lives. Yes, worship are a couple songs that we sing, and they're fun, and I love our bands. They're amazing. But worship is stepping into your God-given purpose and using that to bring glory to his name. Do you know your spiritual gift? Do you know how you're wired by God? If not, then start that journey today. Like, get clarity on that. It will help steady you. And if you do know your spiritual gift, have you forgotten it? Have you put it in a drawer somewhere? Keep it in front of you every day. Remember who you are and then know how you're wired. And that will enable you to see now before next. It'll help you see your assignment today. Many people think, oh, I'll find my purpose when I get out of school, when I get the job, when I get married, when we have kids. And then when you have kids, you're like, "That well, when the kids get out of the house, I'll have more time," right? We're always looking to what's next. God's Spirit is inviting you to see now the fields are ripe with harvest. It's not what you want out of your life. It's what is. And let me just acknowledge, I know this is tough. I mean, I think about Arden and Yvonne. People who are part of our Perrysburg campus, and they're just navigating some really difficult health realities. What inspires me about them is the way that they're prayerfully going, God, what purpose do you have for us in spite of the challenges that we're dealing with? It's inspiring. Or our founding pastor, Lee Powell, who 9 years ago was diagnosed with Parkinson's. 9 years. And to this day, I just got a newsletter from him a couple months ago that he's sending out to pastors. Even though his mobility is becoming less and less, he still wants to get on the phone and help mentor and encourage pastors from around the country. Like, he's trying to find creative ways to live out his God-given purpose. For some of you, your assignment is your kids. And it may not feel purposeful, like the big, big impact. Be faithful with the assignment that you have today. Don't underestimate the long-term ripple effect of you just showing up every day and graciously loving your kids and praying for them. Maybe you have somebody that's battling an addiction or a mental illness or a physical illness. And so it's hard to feel like there's purpose. Instead, open your heart to what God has for you. Others of you, it's your success. Like, your business, you're far beyond what you ever thought you would be at, whatever income level or place in your business. Instead of just writing all of this off, what if we just said, God, what are you trying to do through me? What's your assignment for me today? Because this life isn't about a task to accomplish or a paycheck. It's not just getting through the 9 to 5 so that you can get to the weekend. It's an opportunity to impact lives. I mean, Ephesians, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. I mean, have you met somebody that's like, you know what, I'd like to be a little more foolish? Like, nobody says that. But look at the warning. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. What does it mean to be wise? Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. That means in spite of the chaos, we can actually be purposeful in our everyday life. How? Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Understand your God-given purpose. That's how you make the most of each and every day. The clearer your purpose, the steadier you will be. And so instead of resisting this purpose, instead of just getting swept up in your job, I would encourage you over the next few minutes and throughout the week to ask the Holy Spirit, what's your assignment for me? What work are you doing in me? What do you want to do through me? And if it seems small, step into it anyway. See who, how, and now. And I believe you're gonna feel a steadiness to your life that will guide you through the chaos. And the truth is, this isn't just something for you individually. This is true for us collectively as a church. I believe that God put Cedar Creek and other life-giving churches on planet Earth for this moment in human history. And I was reminded of the calling that we have in a profound way from these pastors in England who have seen the church die in their country. And do you know what they said over and over? They said this: when a church focuses on itself, it dies. But a church focused on mission thrives. You could put Christian in there. When a Christian focuses on what's in it for me, they die. But when a Christian focuses on their God-given purpose, they start to experience the Spirit of God using them to make a difference. Their observation in England was that the churches tended to grow older and inward, and eventually they died. But churches that were intentional about growing outward, reaching people outside of the church and younger, they continued to thrive. And so what do you want here? Do you want an empty church building in 20 years? We're struggling to speak to. Or do you want to see God use this place beyond our lifetime? Like, I know the answer to that question. It means we're going to have to be intentional about growing younger and growing outward. Now, does that mean we don't care about the more mature of our audience, right? No. Do you know what it actually means? It means you have purpose here. It means your time's not up. It takes mature people to help raise up the next generation. And so there are some, what I will affectionately refer to, some gray hairs that it's time to get in the game. Yeah, get in the game and use the gifts and talents that God's given you, the resources that God's given you to help impact the next generation for him. It means there's some parents like me who need to get in the game. You have gifts that are on the sidelines. And God's like, hey, Instead of focusing on what's wrong with our world, step into my mission to be a part of what's right. You know what excites me is there's some 20 to 30-year-olds. You wonder if you have purpose here. Man, we need you at the front door, leaning in, learning, serving families and guests. I want every guest who walks in to see themselves in our dream team. But it's gonna mean we have to start looking beyond what's in it for me and instead begin to discover our God-given purpose. It's why I get excited about things like Hallow Weekend. It may not be your favorite holiday, although I do like, personally, I like spooky season. But this is really a time where we get to, what, make inroads with young families. It's the second most popular holiday next to Christmas. So we're gonna have fun here over Halloween weekend, and we're gonna make it fun for families. So invite people to give them a little taste of God's grace and what he's doing in their life. Or at the movies, where we take extended clips of movies and we help people see the story that resonates with us. Where is God at work? What does God have to say about that? In fact, we're gonna equip all of you with a QR code and an invite link where when you invite or use this with somebody who's never been to Cedar Creek, they can watch an encore presentation of last year's At the Movies, the movie Maverick that we featured week one, just to give them a taste. And then hopefully they come and experience God's grace here. So would you continue to invite and be prayerful about that? Think about who's your one. And maybe God will use you to impact the eternity of someone. And it's not just invites. We need you on our team. We need you on the front lines, serving coffee, in the lobby, helping with production, helping with kids, in the parking lot, investing in what God's doing. Why? Because we want to make the most of every opportunity in these crazy, chaotic days. And so we're not going to be thoughtless. No, instead, we're going to understand, God, what's the purpose that you have for us? And instead of getting, what does he say? Don't be drunk with wine. Instead of filling our life up with the things that medicate the pain away, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, allowing God to use us to be a part of his mission today. I believe when we put ourselves under the power and authority of God's Spirit, as we understand our identity, our gifting, and our assignment, you will begin to experience a steadiness and a sense of adventure that God's using you in powerful ways. So you can be a part of the story that God is writing, or you can stick with you. And if you stick with you, you're welcome to attend next weekend. But my prayer is that God would give you vision for your life, because I know the clearer I am on my purpose, the steadier I am in the midst of the chaos. You don't have to take my word for it. There's a guy who's been on our music team, his name's Phil. And he shared a little bit of his story, and I want you to listen to how he has continued to step into purpose and how it steadies him. Let's watch.
When I was 2 years old, I was diagnosed with a benign brain tumor. They went in to remove it and bump something, and then that gave me right-sided weakness. And so ever since then, I've had over 40 surgeries, trying to correct all that and then just improve my quality of life. And it was in the sixth grade, just one night, I was just having horrible headaches, and so my parents took me into the hospital. And I asked them how long I was gonna be in. They said it was just gonna be overnight. Turned out to be 28 days. And in those 28 days, I had 7 surgeries done. After those 7 surgeries, it just kinda hit me. If God wasn't real, I don't think I would be here right now. There have been people who have been in my same situation or even less than what I've been through, and they've been in much worse shape. It was at that moment that I was kinda like, all right, gonna give my life to Christ, and it's definitely that was definitely the wake-up call or big moment for me. Fast forward 10 years, I was in school for sports broadcasting. I had a friend who was going to Alaska to broadcast, and he said, "Hey man, you want to go with me?" And I said, "Yeah, that would be awesome." We got there, and I wasn't even there for a week. It was just a couple days, and I started getting the chronic headaches, and at that point I was like, why now? Not why me, but why now? Why here? They rushed me in for an emergency surgery, and then the second surgery didn't do a whole lot. Then the surgeon there said, we can do a surgery that his brain's a perfect match for. If all goes well, then he won't need shunts the rest of his life. He said if he's good for 3 days after the fact, then he'll be good the rest of his life. There's still a 50-50 chance his body will reject it. It could hit an artery, he could bleed out on the table, could be brain dead, all of these things. And so he has to sign a paper saying that he understands it. And that whole entire trip, one of the only things I remember is signing that paper. And surgery was done, 3 days passed, and I was out of there. When I think back about when I had those thoughts, like, why now? When you look at how it all aligned, because there was a surgeon there that could do a surgery that nobody in the Toledo area could do. Everything had to be a perfect match. It all worked out. Blessed me with the right people at the right time. And that just changed my life forever and only made me grow in my faith even more. And it couldn't be stronger. How I express my faith is through music, because I've been rapping since high school, so for over 10 years now. And I've always loved singing. One day I was here at Cedar Creek and I came across Nate, and he said, hey, would you ever want to come check out the band? And I was like, that'd be awesome. I always loved doing music, but I've wanted to be able to use it for my faith or to praise his name. And so Nate had me audition and it all worked out, and now I get to praise Jesus on stage, and it was all full circle because the 7-year anniversary of me being shunt free in 2023, I was on stage serving with the band, and it's just all came for a full circle and definitely a God thing. But I mean, it all comes down to trusting Jesus and just have faith and know that you're not in control. His plans are better than our own, and so just have faith in him and give him the glory and put your trust in him. A lot of people have asked me in the past, would you change anything? Do you want to know what it's like to be able to use both of your arms equally and good legs? And I'm like, no, because I don't know what that would mean for my faith. And to me, that's the most important thing. My surgeries and everything I've went through, that's what led me to my faith in Jesus. I'm blessed to be where I'm at.
I think Phil's in the audience with some friends and family. And so, Phil, thanks for sharing your story. And one of the things that inspires me personally is if I try to put myself in his shoes, I could create a long list as to why I don't think I can, why I shouldn't. And Phil continues to lean into how he's gifted, and he just offers it humbly and graciously to God. I mean, he just sent Nate on Saturday another song that he had written, and he just writes and tries to use his gift to help people. You can follow him on Spotify. I think his name is Filet Mignon. And so you can hear some of his raps there. But Phil, thanks. He doesn't let those limitations keep him from living out his God-given purpose. So what barrier have you put before God? And perhaps part of the reason you felt a little anxious and phased is because you've lost sight of it or never taken your step. And so I want to give you an opportunity prayerfully right now to just ask God, the Holy Spirit, to speak to you, which means for some of you, you may need to take your first step of faith today. Right now, in the quietness of your heart, all God asks is that we place our faith in him, surrender your life to him. So tell him, God, I surrender my life to you. Tell him I received the grace and forgiveness that Jesus offers through his life, death, burial, and resurrection. I want the Holy Spirit to guide me from this day forward. Help me see your purpose for me. If you prayed that prayer, mark today in the calendar as your spiritual birthday, and then join us as we go on this adventure together. God, I pray for all of us that you give us vision. Get our eyes off of the chaos and bring it back to the purpose that you have for each of us. Help us to be aware that you've put us here on earth on purpose to be a part of your work in our world today. And so give us renewed strength, renewed courage, vision, the ability to step into every day, every conversation with the awareness that you are at work and you love to partner with us to do good in our world. So God, I pray that that truth would steady each of us in the midst of our personal storms and the cultural storm we find ourselves in today. May our lives be a light to the weary world around us so that more and more people can encounter you. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name. And everyone said, amen.